Twins and Colorado tonight from Denver, and we'll get started a little bit later tonight. Finn Miller is scheduled to join following the news and weather at 6. Then at 6:30, the lineup card, first pitch at 7:10. And Zebby is back. That's right, Zebby Matthews recalled, and he will start game two of the three-game set. Colorado, they scored 5 unanswered early off Chris Paddock and go on to a 6-4 victory first game out of the break for both teams, same two teams. They really draw. And what's amazing is they are horrible. By far the worst record in the major leagues. And they get people to come out to the park. Coors Field, it was a huge crowd last night. Maybe they were giving away a bobblehead of some sort, but it was a huge crowd last night. And once again, Zebby on the mound. He's back from injury and his AAA rehab assignment. Twins 3 games under 500. Colorado now 23-74. And when you look at the standings, it is extraordinary. And there was something as Corey Provis was getting ready to sign off at the end of the game, mentioned that this is the second time, the Friday night win for Colorado was the second time this year that Rockies had won the opening game of a series. The second time all year they had won the opening game of a series at home. They are 34.5 games behind the Dodgers. They are 24.5 games behind the Arizona Diamondbacks, who are in fourth in the NL West, which is extraordinary. The next worst team in the big leagues is the Chicago White Sox at 33-65. And then you have the Oakland Athletics, and I'm going to call them that till the end of time. The Oakland are 41. Oh, the Nats are 38-59. Then you got Pittsburgh at 39. So the Rockies are bad news. Game two of the 3-game set. Then it's on to L.A. and then home to the Nats at Target Field as the post-All-Star break part of the schedule continues. The Loons, they are in Portland. They will be at Providence Park tonight. Andy Greeter covers the club and the Golden Gophers for the Pioneer Press. Haven't visited with Andy in a while. How you been?
I'm doing great, Steve. How are you?
Yeah, good. Andy, I hope your summer is going well.
Yeah, can't complain. I've been able to get a little bit of time off. But like you said, when you mentioned the Gophers, they're starting up this week and having Big Ten Media Days in Las Vegas. So for me, it's kind of a bit of an end of summer.
Yeah, and things are really busy. And then you're doing double duty trying to cover the Loons and the Golden Gophers as they get ready for the 25 season. Let's talk about the Loons. First of all, midweek at Allianz LAFC, they couldn't get a goal. They lose 1-0, yeah. And that's a tough home loss.
Well, I think it was more so in the way that they lost than the fact that they lost. I think LAFC is considered one of the best clubs in MLS, so losing to them isn't, you know, an embarrassment by any stretch of the imagination. But Minnesota has had a very distinct recipe to win games, to finish, to be in the top three in the Western Conference, and that's coming off of set pieces and goals off of counterattacks. And what LAFC did was switch from a back four to a back five and really kind of sat deep, kind of bunkered, parked the bus, if you will, and made it difficult for Minnesota because their strong suit is not scoring an open play and breaking down a defense, and they really forced Minnesota to do that, and their inability to do so had them coming out with a 1-0 loss. And I'd imagine, given their success in those other two facets, that we'll see future teams, maybe even Portland tonight, sitting back deep and forcing Minnesota to try to break them down.
And there have been a lot of matches for the Loons as of late, a lot of play here in July. And at Providence Park. And over the years, when we've talked about the Loons, we've talked about this venue, an old school, if there is such a thing, MLS venue.
In Providence, yeah, it's a converted, you know, minor league baseball facility that has built a brand new stand on one side of the field. I think it's personally my favorite because I think it has the most character. I think it is the most distinct environment, and the Timbers Army, their largest supporters group, does a great job in that. What is it, the north end of creating a kind of a huge, you know, bit of sound coming out of there. They've got Timber Joey, who's often firing up the chainsaw and cutting off big slabs of wood every time they score a goal. I think it, if it's not number one, it's in the top three of best environments in MLS. And Eric Ramsey talked about how, you know, their wall of sound kind of sucked the ball in when they played there last June, and Minnesota had a 2-goal lead and they come out and lose 3-2. So it's a daunting place to play, and we'll see if Minnesota's up to the task late tonight.
And they've been very good on the road. I mean, the Loons, it's extraordinary how good they've been on the road.
Yeah, I think, you know, their defensive first mindset of sitting back and forcing teams to break them down has been something that carries over and travels to the road games. You know, I think it'll be interesting to see if Portland sits back and forces Minnesota to beat them, or if they're more out on the front foot and create opportunities for Minnesota to get in behind. I think it'll be interesting the rest of the season to see how many teams kind of use the LAFC script and blueprint, if you will, to try to beat Minnesota.
Andy Greeter joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. He covers the Loons and the Golden Gophers for the Pioneer Press, and of course football camp for the Golden Gophers starting up very soon indeed. We'll have more on that. A little bit more about the Loons, and you alluded to it in your social media post promoting your appearance today, and that is always much appreciated, Andy, is the transfer window is opening. How active would the Loons be? Because they have had a very good year, and they're right in the thick of it.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see how active they are. I think fans expect them to bring in a handful of players. The number four has kind of been thrown out there of the number of new players that they might try to pursue in the summer transfer window. I don't know if it's going to be that many. I would venture to guess it's maybe more in the 1-2-3 range. I think this is a great opportunity for Minnesota to push ahead and try to win a trophy. They're sitting in third place in the Western Conference. They're in the semifinals of the U.S. Open Cup. Leagues Cup with Liga MX in Mexico is starting up later this month. It's, you know, a real opportunity for a quality Minnesota team to go out and win a trophy and use the transfer window to reinforce and get better in some key spots, primarily in central and defensive midfield. You know, Khalid El-Ahmad, the Loons, you know, GM, if you will, their chief soccer officer, tried to go out and get a defensive midfielder, you know, last winter, and it wasn't as successful. He brought in Owen Jen, but they were trying to shoot a little bit bigger. Are they going to go back and go into the international market and bring in a defensive midfielder? That's going to be the biggest thing that I'm going to be looking for here this summer.
Yeah, and by the way, there was an injury announcement from the Loons earlier today that was sent out, a season-ending injury.
Yeah, Ho-Yeon Jen, a young Korean that they have on their team. He hasn't played very much. He hasn't really factored into the first team. But with that, on top of Hassani Dotson's season-ending injury earlier this year, we're even shorter in midfield, and that kind of lends credence and a belief that they need to restock at that position.
Yeah, and Andy, when you get into the opportunity to add players, I mean, is that one of those where it kind of goes to management ownership, or is, you know, are they willing to spend the money and invest in the club and try and get over the top here in 2025?
Yeah, I think that's really what it boils down to. They've got the roster flexibility to do so. They've got, you know, designated players, which are the higher end type players, and they've got the ability to go out and get another DP. They also have the opportunity to go and get what they called an under 22 initiative player, a young up and coming guy that takes a higher transfer fee to bring in. They've got the opportunity to bring in that. They also have some roster building, dollar in funds available to them. So there's certainly opportunities for them to do so. They want to always kind of keep flexibility to be able to stay nimble and to be able to go out and do things in the market. But now, just given the fact of where they are, the success they've had, and in key spots, the aging roster that they have, some of their best players are on the wrong side of 30. Will Trapp, Robin Lud, Michael Boxall. This is kind of the last kind of 1 or 2 year window for these guys, and it really is a key opportunity for them to go out and reinforce around them and push on and try to win a trophy.
Andy Gritty joining us, covers the Loons and the Golden Gophers. By the way, the Loons at Portland Providence Park. It is a late start tonight. Apple TV, if you want to catch that one. Andy, you mentioned Golden Gopher football, getting to work and get ready for the fall season. And as we've known, the ever-changing landscape, the transfer portal, name, image, likeness, money, now player pay budgets. It's a lot to keep up with.
Yeah, it sure is. I think it's kind of a new dawn, a new era of college football, and I think it'll be interesting to see how the Gophers are able to be competitive in it. You know, they have an opportunity with revenue sharing in the House versus the NCAA settlement to spend $20 million on the football team, on men's basketball, on men's hockey, on women's basketball, and on the volleyball program. And that provides an opportunity to be more competitive, but other Big Ten programs are going to have that ability to spend as well. But the flip side of it is that the Gopher Athletic Department budget is in about a $9 million shortfall at this point, and they're looking for ways to try to come up with revenue to try to, you know, kind of bridge that gap, because they try to operate at a break-even, you know, kind of balance sheet. So it's a challenging time for them, but I think this Gopher football team is in a very good spot. They've done a nice job of retaining players. They've done a nice job of developing young guys. They've got a very intriguing roster, if you want to get into that. And I think they've plugged in a lot of different spots in the transfer portal. They haven't lost a lot of guys. It hasn't been a detriment to them. And they've used it to their advantage in a free agency type of way of reinforcing at key positions. And we'll see if those guys can live up to the standard of what this program has been able to do, of be a perennial bowl team, be a team that's right in the mix in that second tier in the Big Ten.
Yeah, and they were able to land an experienced quarterback to shepherd this team. And, boy, finding that kind of guy to play quarterback and make good decisions and not to turn the ball over and not be 100% reliant on trying to run the football, having a balanced attack. And that'll be interesting to see what happens in 2025.
Yeah, you're alluding to Max Brosmer, who they brought in from New Hampshire a year ago, and he was a tremendous success for this team. They kind of flipped kind of the way that they do things. Instead of a run-heavy offense, they were more balanced, maybe even, you know, pass-heavy. And that was a very much a flip of the script of what T.J. Fleck usually does here at Minnesota. But now he's gone. He's an undrafted guy with the Minnesota Vikings, and Kevin O'Connell raves about what he can provide them. Very cerebral, very studious. And you could see that in Minnesota a year ago. But they're transitioning now. They're going to Drake Lindsey, who is a highly thought of young quarterback from Fayetteville, Arkansas, who is all a 6'4", has a very strong arm, seems to, you know, kind of be building in and stepping into a very key spot. But he's an inexperienced quarterback. So my biggest thing is how much is P.J. Fleck going to be willing to trust him, knowing that he's young, knowing that mistakes are going to come. And when those mistakes come, is PJ going to be trustworthy of Drake Lindsey to go back to him, to kind of show that faith in him, to throw the ball after he maybe throws an interception early in a series, early in a game? Or are they going to go back to what they've done in previous times with, say, Ethan Kaliak-Manis, and he makes a mistake, and then they run the ball the next 15 times? So I think, are they going to trust the ability of Drake Lindsey to learn and grow and develop? It will be interesting in 2025.
Yeah, and Andy, there certainly is skill in some highly touted players, including homegrown players that should be a big part of this team this fall.
Yeah, I think that starts with Coy Parrish, who was a true freshman last year, had 5 interceptions, who received, you know, kind of All-American honors, All-Big Ten honors, And this year, the hype and the praise has even grown even more. He was asked during the internal media day on Wednesday if his dream was to play for the Gophers. And he goes, no, my dream was to play for the Vikings. If I could, I would go straight to the Vikings. But I got to put in my 3 years, and I'm happy to do so. I think that kind of shows the outsized confidence that Coy Parrish has and the way that he's been able to back it up in his first year. This fall will be interesting because they're going to be introducing him on offense, and it's not going to be a gadget. It's not going to be a gimmick. It's going to be a real type of role on offense to get him the ball, because you saw how dynamic he was in taking it away from other teams. You saw what he could do in the return game. His big return against Michigan kept them in that game at the Big House, and now they're going to try to get him more involved on offense. I think it's one of the most intriguing storylines going into this year is, can the Esco Minnesota product produce more and do it on offense a la Travis Hunter?
Yeah, and Andy, I mean, the kid makes plays, and that's what you're asking for. You hear it in the NFL all the time about guys that just have the knack to make plays, and that's what Parrish did.
Absolutely, and yeah, like I said, I think how much are they going to use him, right? Is it going to be, is it going to be, you know, a couple series each half? Is it going to be more than that? How much do they limit him in the secondary? I know that they've got a deep spot at safety, and they've got an ability to kind of mix and match. I think when you have a guy that's that dynamic, you want to maximize the opportunity, but also understand that football is a physical game. It's a taxing game. What is that kind of snap count? What is that load? And what's most foreseeable for success for him?
Well, certainly a fan favorite. Andy, always great. Thanks for the update.
Yep, appreciate it, Steve.
All right, there he is, Andy Greener of the Pioneer Press, online, TwinCities.com. Loons coverage, Gophers coverage. We'll break. We'll come back. WNBA All-Star game tonight in Indy. Isn't everything in Indy these days? We'll get into that here on News Talk 830 WCCO.